That is the desire of our hearts, I would like to think, is that we would want the will of God done. I know sometimes we make it too difficult to try to figure out what it is. When we live in the truth and the righteousness of God, it kind of gives us the pattern of what to follow. As we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, again, it kind of gives us the pattern or the steps to follow along the way. There was this pastor one time, he was teaching on salvation. He was doing a doctoral theological type of study with a group of folks. And to help illustrate his point, he had this jar of jelly beans out in front of him. He says, okay, now list down or write down how many jelly beans you think are in this jar. And so people began to write, and you know, he was watching them observing because they were contemplating, trying to figure out which one, how much were in there. And then he had a second question he followed up with. He says, all right, now write down your favorite song. And he gave them a few minutes to write down their favorite song. And then he went back, and they started guessing how many jelly beans were in the jar, and he kind of wrote down some of those numbers before he told them which one it was, or who had the right answer, or who was the closest to that. And then he started asking about, okay, what was your favorite song? And people began shouting out their favorite song. And he says, okay, now which one is the right song, or which is the correct answer, response to that? And he started getting kind of pushback from it. He says, what do you mean? He says, that's a thing of preference. It's a thing of style. It's kind of person to person, what kind of song you like. And then he followed up with this next question he asked. And he said, when it comes to matters of faith, when it comes to what you're going to believe in faith, is it more guessing like the number of beans in the jar, the jelly beans in the jar, or is it more like choosing your favorite song? So which is it? And he, as he goes on to tell this story, he said, without exception, it seems like, that adults as well as younger folks give him the same response. When it comes to matters of what you're believing or choosing what you're going to believe and the faith that you're going to place, it's more like choosing your favorite song than guessing the number of jelly beans in the jar. So how about you? Is your faith based more on what you feel or what you like, or is it more based upon what can be shown to you? Is faith in God a spiritual matter? Is it a thing of preferences, or is it based upon something that's greater than ourselves? What is it, or what are you depending upon that helped you or helps you to guide you through life? When blessings come, when crises come, when storms come, when the battle rages on, what are you using or what are you depending upon that's going to help you in life? A lot of people just kind of float through life, believers and non-believers. They're just kind of wandering around through life. They may have goals and they may have objectives for their life, but they're really kind of wandering through life because we hear words like, I'm just kind of doing the best I can. I'm just kind of rolling with the punches. I'm taking things as they come to me. See, with a person who is of God and God is in their life, without God in your life, you are just wandering. Because God's going to give you a direction. He's going to show you how to live. I mean, what if there was something in life that you could attach your life to that would give you insight on how to live? What if there is something or someone in life that you could attach your life to that would give you help and encouragement and strength and the ability to stand strong when things come at you and they're trying to get you to compromise who you are or compromise what you believe in? Is there something of value or something of great strength that you can depend upon that's going to help you during those times? Find your Bibles this morning. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. If you're using one of the Bibles on the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 153 in the second part of the book because it begins to renumber in the New Testament. And there you should be able to find Ephesians 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. God, who is rich in mercy and in grace, He has given us grace for our lives that's sufficient for all the needs of our lives. For anything that comes our way, His grace is sufficient. His grace is powerful enough to get us through this. So when we face struggles, when the onslaught of the battle comes on, the grace of God is there for us to help us. And that part of that grace of God, that gift of God He has given to us, is the working of the Holy Spirit in us that can help us to stand firm. It's in this grace that we find the truth about life. And truth is what holds us. It is truth that holds life together. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, pick up in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, as Paul gets to this part of his letter, it's very possible that he is actually looking at a Roman soldier. We realize that during this part of Paul's life, he was in prison. He was under house arrest, had a Roman soldier with him day in and day out. Many times that Roman soldier was actually chained to him. So Paul had this vivid imagery in his life right there in front of him of what kind of armor it took to be successful, to be prepared for the battle when it comes. And so it's not a really kind of that big of a leap to talk about the spiritual battle that we face. Satan's a very real foe. He seeks to undo believers. He seeks to destroy believers. He seeks unbelievers to keep them held captive in their sin. And see, if Satan can get us distracted as a church from doing the things of God, to fulfilling the Great Commission, from giving out the grace of God to others, he's winning the battle because others are not going to believe. So how are we going to defend ourselves? Well, this Roman soldier that Paul's looking at kind of gives us some insight here. Now, Roman soldiers, or folks in those days, they had this long tunic of sorts that would come well below their knees. Great for just kind of roaming through town or lounging around the house, but if you're in a battle or in something serious, that's going to get in your way. So they would wear this belt, and they would kind of roll their clothes up underneath that belt, pulling it up, making it shorter, to give them more freedom for movement. Today, we wear a belt to kind of hold our pants up. You know, some wear belts to kind of pull their ensemble to make their clothing look better. So in any event, it kind of helps pull things together, helps hold things together. And this should give us some insights of how we're going to use the belt of truth in our own lives. Bringing it is, again, it's about the example that we have here. And it's about exalting the truth of God in us. So we're, as Paul says, he says, fasten it or gird yourself up or connect your life to this truth. Don't loosen it. Tighten it up. Hold on tight to this. Now, what is truth? What is this truth that we're to believe in and to establish? Well, depends what is, right? It depends on what circumstance I'm in. You know, truth may change from circumstance to circumstance. Truth is in you. Believe your own truth. Does that even sound right? You see, truth, if it changes from circumstance to circumstance, if truth changes from person to person, it cannot be true. See, truth by definition is to always be true. Webster, good place to go when you're looking for a definition of words. Webster defines truth this way: the body of real things, events, and facts, actuality. Always that way. The state of being the case, fact. Often capitalized, a transcendent, fundamental, or spiritual reality. So even Webster gives us that truth is constant. It doesn't change from person to person or event to event. Truth is always true, kind of like the beans in the jelly beans in the jar. There's a right and there's a true answer. There is a true way to live life. There is a true way to live. There is a great way, a better way to live in truth. So this belt of truth. It's kind of a large leather strap type thing that they would pull around them. It would hold their weapons. It would hold their clothes together. And again, this is a great illustration of how it's to hold the Word of God together in our lives that we're going to live out. We're going to be committed to it. And we're going to live and walk in integrity in this truth of God. Let me give you kind of a big statement here, and it doesn't sounds kind of odd, and we'll kind of unpack it, all right? Truth is a commitment to the content that is true. Okay, let's think through this. Truth is a commitment to content that is true. So the truth that I'm believing, the truth that I'm going to wrap my life around is as my commitment to this truth is based upon the content that is true. So what content do I believe? There are so many thoughts out there. There's so many opposing concepts and views. Which one do I believe in? I mean, even our own country seems to be being divided along two lines of thought. So which one is right? Which one is true? Which one should I believe? Well, that one's an easy answer. Neither. You say, what? What do you mean? The dividing line of what's being happened today is what we're seeing is more along the political line. And political views are not always true, because political views change with time. And we've just discovered that truth, if it is true, it doesn't change with time. So we need something more than there. We need something that or someone that's higher than man, or someone that can withstand the test of time, that has been proven true throughout the ages. And that would be true, and that's what we need to latch on to. Now, we've identified Satan as our enemy, right? Even non-believers get this part. All right, they understand that Satan, he stands for evil. God stands for good. Satan tries to undo the things of God. God works to do good in our lives. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8, that Satan is a liar and he's the father of all lies. Satan is a habitual liar. A lie is a perversion of the truth. It's a counterfeit. So he, in his working and how he's working to deceive us, he'll oftentimes put something up that looks and it sounds good, but it's not true. It's a counterfeit, because he is lying to us. He will lie to us every time. That's how he works. How do you live with a liar, or how would you live with a liar? I mean, you never know where you stand. You never know when to believe them. You don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. So there's nothing foundational, really, to begin to build a relationship or a trusting relationship with someone who consistently lies to you. You've got to find something else, and it's not going to work well when someone's constantly lying to you. So why do we constantly believe the enemy? Now, there is something true here, though. However, truth is built upon a person. You say, what? What do you mean, a person? Yes. That person is God's one and only Son, Jesus. Truth is built upon the only born Son of God, and that's Jesus. Jesus said this about himself, John 14:6. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. He says, you want to know how to live life? I am the way. Watch how I live. I am the truth. You want to know what's right and what's wrong? I am truth. You want to know life? I'm the one that gives life. And certainly no one's going to get to the Father. No one's going to get into eternal life unless you go the way that I'm going, unless you believe the truth that I'm teaching, unless you accept the life that I'm giving. He said, this is the way you get to the Father, and there's no other way possible to do that. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, go back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John explains this kind of this idea of the truth and who God is and Jesus as he's identifying how Jesus came into the world. John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So as God's creating, he's using this Word to create. He speaks the Word, and life happens. He speaks the Word, and it comes about. And it comes into existence. And nothing comes into existence without this Word being present. Now, notice verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is the content of God in flesh and blood. Wow. It's who He is. So we want to know truth, we look to Jesus. We want to know the truth of God, we look to Jesus, because Jesus is the content of God who put on flesh and blood. Wow. I like the words of John MacArthur. John MacArthur's a noted pastor and writer today. He says these words. He says, "It's easy for believers to rely on their knowledge of God's word instead of the one who gives the word and makes it effective. No matter how orthodox and comprehensive our theology, and no matter how solid the scriptural foundation of our understanding, if we do not rely day by day on God's leading and provision, living in constant faith and dependent prayer, we are unprepared soldiers of Christ and are vulnerable to our spiritual adversaries." So you can know a lot of good facts, and you can know a lot of good true facts about God and Jesus. But until you become dependent upon God with your whole life, you put those things into practice. Until you become dependent where you're believing Him day by day, and you're believing Him, you're practicing the faith day by day, then's when you become strong in the truth of God. This is a better way of saying it. The better you know Jesus, the better you know the truth about life. Pretty simple. The better we know Jesus, the better we know the truth about life. The more that we know about Jesus, the more we're going to know about life. The more we're going to know that life is real. The better we're going to be able to live life. Truth affects how we live. What we are believing, what we believe in faith, what we're believing in trust, that's what we make decisions about life. If I'm looking for a direction for my life, if I'm looking for what to do right in life, it's going to be based upon what I believe and the faith that I have. So if I'm putting my faith, my trust, and my hope in God through Christ, then that's how I'm going to make decisions about life. And I'm going to know the truth about life. My dad was in banking for 30 plus years. And so obviously being in a small town and my dad being in the bank for that many number of years, I was in and out of the bank quite a bit. One day I was there, though, and I was watching this teller, this lady, she was counting money. And, man, she was quick. I mean, she could go through quick. She could rearrange denominations. She'd pause just for a second, turn the president's head, because they all had to match and go the same way. And she was just going. But every now and then, she'd throw out a bill and just set it aside. Not in a stack of anything else. And I asked my dad, I says, "Why is she doing that?" He says, "Well, she thinks that's probably a counterfeit bill. And it'll need to be further examined." This lady was so good at finding counterfeit bills that oftentimes, if they thought it was one, they would put it in her money and let her count it, and almost always she would pull that bill out. She was that good. Within just a split second of feeling it, she'd know it was a counterfeit. How or why could she do that? She spent so much time with the real thing, she knew that within a split second what was wrong. Bam, that's it. When we spend so much time with Jesus, we spend so much time in His Word, we spend so much time in the presence of the Father, that when something comes up that's not real, that's not right, we know it immediately. And we can adjust our lives to it. That's knowing the truth of God. That's applying the truth of God. Well, what else did Paul tell us? Well, let me put it this way. To know truth, we have to commit to time with Jesus. To know the truth, we have to commit time with Jesus. It's how we're going to study. It's how we're going to know it. So, what else did Paul tell us about this truth? Well, he said to put it on. He said to fasten it around us. So, how do we fasten it? Truth works when we fasten it firmly into our lives. Truth works for us when we fasten our lives to it. So, how do we fasten truth to our life? Well, we train our minds to it. We pattern our lives after it. You therefore, again, tighten it around your lives. We saw last week about that we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, not every thought that pops into your head is the right thing to do. Not everything that pops in your head is the right thing to say at the right time. So not everything that pops into our heads is truth and is truth from God. That's why we're going to take every thought we have and we're going to run it through the obedience of Christ. We're going to run it through what we know of as the truth of God, who Jesus is and His purpose and what He has taught us. We're going to run it through all those things before we say, before we act. So we're going to know we're going to do right. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow Me." You see, there are times that I'm going to change the direction of my life based upon the truth that I know. It may move me out of my comfort zone. It may be against something that I really want, or it may be something that I even think that I need, but yet I'm going to challenge my life, or I'm going to channel my life differently because of the truth of who Jesus is, who He is, and His purpose in life, that He's given me a purpose in life. You might think of it this way. What will a soldier or an athlete do to assist him to be ready? They will train and they'll have a proper uniform. Athletes, they don't run with long, baggy clothes. They run with short clothes because they don't want anything to hinder them or to slow them down. Swimmers, you ever see what swimmers wear? They will shave their entire bodies. Or they'll put one of those skin-tight, plastic-type suits on so they can cut through the water quickly. If they don't shave their head, they put a rubberized hat on so that the water won't weigh their head down and slow them down even a split second. They make sure they have the proper uniform on. And then they train. And they train. And then they train some more. We find in 2 Timothy, as Paul's writing about a soldier again, he says a soldier doesn't get involved in civil affairs. He doesn't concern himself with what's going on necessarily in the town. He doesn't concern himself in things that are going on in the civilian lifestyle. Why? Because he doesn't want to lose his focus. He wants to be ready if the battle comes and when the battle comes. You see, there's this high level of commitment to training. There's this high-level commitment to preparing and training, and that has a lot to do with winning. See, the soldier who has been trained, the athlete who trains and even sacrifices and doesn't cut any corners, those are the ones that are going to win. See, their success is not based so much on that they're superhuman, because they're not superhuman. Their level of commitment is higher. They will give up things in their life. They will sacrifice certain things in their life that the rest of us think is a normal part of life. But they will push those things aside and give those things up because they want to win. They discipline their lives and they train their lives to be ready. Now think of this. If a Christian, if God's children would strive for the incorruptible crown like an athlete strives for a gold medal or a trophy, how would we face and live with the opposition of an evil one, the enemy, the devil? How much further could the kingdom of God be advanced if we sacrifice those things that we say that we need or that we want because we are more concerned with the God's kingdom advancing? And we're going to train and prepare ourselves that way. I wonder how many of us are trying to run in baggy clothes. How many of us have these confusing thoughts that run through our minds, immature thoughts, habits of our lives that entangle us and slow us down and make us easy prey for the enemy? Because we're unwilling, we want to cut the corners. We want to do it the easiest way possible. We want to try to get there the quickest way possible. And we're not taking the time to spend with God's Word, the truth, Jesus. I like what one guy said. I read this a while back. He said this: truth doesn't offend you. It offends the lie hiding in you. Don't reject truth. Interrogate it. Make it prove its claim. That's very good. Truth doesn't offend. It offends the lie that you're believing. When we get all defensive and we back up and swell up and we think we're going to fight because of something someone said, oftentimes, particularly in the spiritual battle, it's because we've been identified as we're believing a lie and we need to believe the truth. So again, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and we'll know what is truth. See, much of the training that happens is so that when we get in the situation, we don't have to try to think about what our next steps are. We just immediately do it. It's instinct. It happens because we've been trained over and over and over again, and we're leaning toward the things of God. So what is it? What is it that is holding you together when the storms of life comes, when the struggles of life come, when the battle rages and it gets fierce? What is it that you're believing in faith with God? What are you buckled into? Years and years ago, before you had to wear seatbelts. You know, it kind of always amazed me that we had to pass a law to make us do something safe. You remember not ever having to wear a seatbelt, getting in the car and just not even having to think about it? My family, the family I grew up with, we were doing that well before, years before it became a law. Why was that? Well, my sister was in an auto accident. She was actually headed off to see her boyfriend one day. There was some snow on the road, and she hit a slick spot in the road, and it slid her off the road up an embankment, and the car literally flipped up on its side. And when that car flipped up on its side, it shot her out of her seat, and she bounced around in the vehicle she was in. The paramedics, the EMS guys, as well as the doctors had told us that if she had been wearing her seatbelt, she wouldn't have been tossed around in the car, and therefore she wouldn't have got hurt. If she'd been buckled in, it would have held her firm in her seat. So what are you buckled into with your faith and your belief that's going to help you stay firm when the battle rages? What are you believing? Are you attached to Jesus? Are you connected to Him? God's Son who came from heaven, gave His life on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins, and resurrected and showed that He could overcome the consequences of sin, which is death, but coming out of the grave. Are you latched on to salvation? Have you latched on to the forgiveness and the grace of God that comes only through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life? How committed are you to training? How committed are you of knowing the truth and that you're working to train and be prepared and even helping others be prepared? Let's pray together. As we pray, what is it again that you are believing in? What is it that you have put your faith and trust in that's helping with life so that you know life, that you have life, that you can live it? If it's not Jesus, today's the day to come to Him and accept His grace, His forgiveness, and His life, eternal life. How are you training? You gotten tired? Decided you're just going to take a break and you never got back. And the enemy is doing a number on you. You feel his effects. You hear his words. Before you realize it, you've believed him and you're living a lie. You're believing a lie. And that walk you had once with God is no longer there. Today is the day to step back. Today is the day to make the new commitment to the training and the truth of God through His Son Jesus. God, I pray and thank you. I thank you for even the struggle that Paul has. He was with that Roman soldier. You used it to teach him and to teach us about how to be prepared for the spiritual battle as it happens. So guys, we've focused on truth today. God, first help us to know the truth, who is your Son, Jesus. Then, God, help us to commit to walking and training in that truth day by day to help us to live and to guide us in life and to be the people of grace we need to be. So, God, as we sing here in a moment, commitments that may need to be made, renewing of commitments, starting again, God, let it happen today, let it happen now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. As we sing, you come. As God prompts you, as He's leading you.